We have a lot of questions. So to help us sort it out, the executive director of sports business at the Manhattanville College School of Business, Dave Taromeo, joins us right now. Dave, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
I'm just fine, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we're glad to have you on. We've got one guy that knows not much about sports betting.
Okay.
And one guy that knows significantly more than that.
Well, I can. There's one sure bet I have for you that I'm probably the worst golfer you've had on the air today. So maybe a while longer than that.
All right, we'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
All right.
Explain to us how this is going to work state to state. Delaware's already out there. Now, is there going to be some sort of unifying property between all the states that create a cohesive unit? Or is sports gambling going to be like the liquor laws and one state's going to have them this way and another state's going to have them another way?
Yeah, the latter, because I think what you've seen is that the Supreme Court made this ruling, seems like a year ago now, but it's just last month. And, basically what they did was they empowered the states to make their own decisions. So, you know, states like Delaware obviously got a huge jump. New Jersey is going to be in it soon. You have Pennsylvania is going to be in it, Connecticut. But there are states that have shown little to no interest. In fact, you know, Alabama doesn't even have a state lottery. You know, a state like Utah, you know, where you have a huge religious concern, they probably, you know, might back out as well.
Well, gamblers will find a way, and gamblers in those states won't have to go very far. Here was my question when this all happened, and you know, Dave, the PGA Tour is a very conservative group. They play things close to the vest. They haven't had too many business missteps over the years. They were all about this, which I think caught a lot of folks, including me, off guard. Uh-huh. And we saw the story that was posted. Our friend Rex Hoggard at Golf Channel had some source that came up with some number and said the tour could stand to make as much as $6 billion per year licensing their data to the various states. Okay, that number, even if it's wrong, how wrong could it be? So I ask you, where did that number come from, and how wrong or right could that be? Because that's massive.
It is a massive number in terms of, you know, and it's, you know, what the NBA calls an integrity fee, you know, is in same with the NFL. All the leagues are going to want, you know, in the gambling industry, what's called a VIG, right? They're gonna want a percentage, but they're also going to find ways. I think, and my personal belief is that the leagues, the PGA and the NFL and the teams are going to do a better job at this than the states will. In terms of seeing actual revenue. So I think there's so many different ways that they can skin this cat, because if you think about, you know, and by the way, I mean, gambling and golf, I mean, they kind of, I won't say go hand in hand, but, you know, the Nassaus and the gambling terms in golf have been around forever. And that's just a one-on-one thing or a group thing, right? Now, if it's you know, I can sit there and make a bet in with you guys and we can, you know, instead of making my $20 or you making your $30, you know, we're in a larger pool and we can really bet significantly. So I think there are a variety of ways that they'll be able to create revenue streams from this. And then part of that will be on-site.
The on-site I get. I don't understand how the state, or in this case, the individual casino, could possibly be incentivized to pay the leagues. Why would they do that? What possible reason would they have?
Well, you know, they may not. And in fact, you know, I think there was a comment today maybe, you know, about the state has to, or the, I'm sorry, the league has to police itself, you know, because the league is saying this is going to create more work for us. We're going to have to obviously, you know, make sure that our product is clean. But the leagues and the teams are going to find a way to, you know, whether it's a kiosk in a stadium, you know, or, you know, eventually, you know, it may even be that you don't have to go to a casino. You could walk into a convenience store and buy a $10 Powerball and you know, $10 parlay on you know, the U.S. Open.
And the league could make the $6 billion a year that way, from kiosks on site, and that's where we're having a hard time figuring this out.
Well, again, just remember, I mean, you know, information is everything in this world, right? And the more information you have, so it's going to be servicing other venues other than, you know, just the on-site location. It's going to be people, you know, whether it's online, whether it's, you know, a new magazine or product, you know, so for the hardcore people, you know, who want to do their homework, you know, it's going to be an additional revenue stream. I don't know if – I can't say it's going to be $6 billion for the PGA. I don't know where they came up with that number, but – you know, I do think that there will be ways that they can add a revenue stream to their existing product.
What are we looking at in terms of state participation going forward? How many states do we expect to – we know New Jersey's right on the brink. Any more this year?
Yeah, I think the states that I've seen that are moving obviously include Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Mississippi. You know, you had some states that were grandfathered in a little bit. Obviously, Las Vegas was, you know, back to, and you go back to the 1992 law, which was the law that they just overturned. So, again, I don't think it's going to be all states, but I do think, you know, it will be a good percentage. And, you know, who knows, over time, you know, maybe states will see, maybe some states are just going to sit back and say, let's see if this works. You know, let's see if it's successful, and then, you know, we can always get in the game. You know, a state like Delaware, well, I think, quite frankly, they wanted to get the PR for being the first because of the first state and all that other stuff.
Dave Tromi, our guest, Executive Director of Sports Business at the Manhattanville College School of Business. Do you see any chance that this goes back the other way, and then all of a sudden the states and possibly even the sports organizations, anybody that's invested in this going one direction, all of a sudden gets burned because now all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out?
Well, listen, I mean, anytime you're talking about, you know, our government, you just never know. It's just as crazy as anything out there. So it could have happened, sure. But again, you're going to, you know, they can't take something away that they've already given you. So, you know, being grandfathered in like Delaware was with the parlay, you were able to place parlay sports on parlay bets, excuse me, on, you know, on NFL games. You know, Las Vegas, obviously, and Jersey got shut out of that. I think once it's put in place and they say, okay, you can do this, I don't think they'll be able to take it away from you. So, you know, I don't see that happening. I do see, you know, this is, you know, it's strange, guys. I mean, because it's 2018, and it's like, you know, if you told me 20 years ago, you know, that teams and leagues would be making money from a secondary ticket market, you know, I would say, well, that's scalping and that's illegal, you know, so how can that be? But it is legal, and they, you know, what happened with the teams then and the leagues was they saw it happening as a legal business entity, and they said, you know what, that makes sense. We want in on that deal. So they either created their own, like the Yankees tried to do, or they got into business with the StubHubs of the world.
Incredible.
Interesting. Yeah,
I actually didn't realize how that worked that way, and I'm fascinated by this whole thing. I'm just curious, the revenue, how much revenue is generated from sports gambling now that we know about, and how much what's speculated. And the kind that I do, that.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak for you, but, well, think about it. It's, first of all, it's illegal, but we know that it's anywhere from $50 billion to $200 billion a year.
Wow.
That is illegally gambled, and that's including, you know, the offshore sports books, which you can anybody can get online and make a deposit today. You know, and of course, you know, Tommy down the street who's been doing it for 30 years and, you know, and he's not collecting taxes, but you better pay him on time. Difference is, you know, if you go to a casino and you place a bet or you go to one of these places where you're going to place a sports wager, you're going to have to put the money up front first. Whereas, you know, those other places you kind of hold your money until you lose.
And then a little longer if you're lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we had a guy call us, Dave, that has done this for a living for a while. He was not worried about this new
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, because, you know, anytime you have a tax implication, people are going to try to find a way around it. If they have a good deal, if they think they have a good deal going on, then, you know, they'll continue that. But those things can always be shut down in a nanosecond.
Well, you this guy doesn't sound like he's going to get shut down. This guy sounded pretty connected. Sorry.
You mentioned the taxes. What can this mean for revenue for the states?
Well, you know, again, you know, the states, I live in Connecticut, and you know, we have two Indian casinos. And, you know, I'm always wondering where the heck the money's going, you know, because it's supposed to be, you know, the revenue from the slots, and they're making so much money, and the state gets a check, and then, you know, it's supposed to go to education. And then I see cuts in education, and I'm saying to myself, well, where the heck's the money going? So it's a really difficult question to answer, but I think, you know, if you look at, you know, like the state, like, for example, the marijuana tax, things of that nature, it's actually not been a boon to local economies. So I don't know why I would sit here and tell you otherwise, but, you know, could it be a revenue stream for the states? Yeah, it could, but, you know, and again, you know, there's probably a small percentage of people right now, you know, who are doing this heavily or maybe full-time or, you know, really invested, you know, and most of those people, not most, but 25% of problem gamblers wind up bankrupt. So I just don't see it as a big revenue stream for the state, you know, especially if you can do it in any state. I mean, if I'm in New York right now, which I am, and I go up to Connecticut, you know, and I can play Powerball here, I can play Powerball there, you know. So it's going to be one of those questions of just how much revenue is being driven through this. I do think it's going to generate interest and excitement for maybe even the novice fan.
Dave, we appreciate your time and your insights. Very exciting. We've already said, I personally want the Delaware governor to lose his first official bet just because it's a great lesson for the kids. I think he can afford it. It's a great lesson for the kids.
$10 wager on the Phillies. See, I think he could have spent that more wisely, but.
Okay. See, there you go. There he is. Dave, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.